CBS News, this special radio Net Alert News Report.
This is Mike Stanley at CBS News Space Headquarters in New York. Trouble tonight with the Apollo 13 mission, the probability of an aborting of that mission as a result of electrical power which developed just about an hour and a half ago. During that time, there has been a flurry of important communications between the Houston Manned Spacecraft Center and the crew of Apollo 13, now better than 200,000 miles away from Earth on that hybrid orbit taking them toward the moon. The difficulty? Affecting the fuel cells, which develop electrical power for all of the systems aboard the spacecraft. One, then two of the cells were shut down, and the probability now is that a rescue will be necessary using the booster engine of the LEM, the lunar module. The word is from the technicians at North American Aircraft who manufacture the command module that using only one of the three available fuel cells, insufficient power would be available to fire the booster aboard the command module to make that switch in trajectory. So now a procedure called LEM lifeboat using the booster engine aboard the LEM is being contemplated, though that is still some time away. Now it's a race uphill as the gravitational field of the moon begins to accelerate the speed of the racing Apollo 13 command and lunar modules linked together nose to nose. The plan is, as we understand it at this point, for that gravitational pull to increase the speed of the spacecraft until it gets to the dark side of the moon. Then the LEM booster would be fired, changing the orbit, bringing them back on a trans-Earth orbit, bringing them back to Earth, and a splashdown we know not yet precisely where. Let's back up in time, about 1.5 hours, to the communication from space. This was after a television transmission as two of the crewmen went aboard the LEM, opened up that door in the hatch, went on board, looked inside, found that all systems were a go, and at this point we're told that the wives of the people on board were going back home satisfied, having seen them on television at the space headquarters in Houston. And then this communication, the first indication, trouble aboard Apollo 13.
Okay, yes, right. We've had a problem here.
We've had a main B bus undervolt.
Roger, main B undervolt. Okay, stand by, 13. We're looking at it.
Okay, right now, Houston, the voltage is looking good. And we had a pretty large bang associated with the caution and warning there. And as I recall, Main B was the one that had a amp spike on it once before.
Roger, Fred.
In the interim here, we're starting to go ahead and button up the tunnel again.
Roger.
That jolt must have rocked the sensor on see now in O2 quantity 2. It's was oscillating down around 20 to 60%. Now it's full scale high again.
Roger.
And Houston, we had a restart on our computer. We have things right, and the restart reset.
Roger, restart, and things light. Reset on things
okay.
Reset.
And I'm looking at our service module RCS helium 1. We have B is bobber pole, and D is bobber pole. Helium 2, D is bobber pole. And secondary propellants, so I have A and C bobber pole. T mag temperatures. Okay, AC2 is showing zip. I'm going to try to reconfigure on it, Jack. Yeah, we got a main bus A undervolt now, too, Sean.
Main A undervolt.
It's reading about 25.5. Main B's reading zip right now.
An apparent serious oxygen leak aboard the command module. Oxygen, one of the cryogenic components which contribute to the production of power in the fuel cell power plants, three of them aboard the command and service module. Let's check with CBS News science consultant Dr. Leonard Riefel on precisely how these power units function and some presumptions as to the malfunction and the way in which Apollo 13 came to its present difficult situation. Dr. Riefel, what is the situation for producing power aboard the Apollo 13 spacecraft?
Well, Mike, the main systems, as you realize, are these fuel cells, and what they amount to are chemical batteries where instead of the chemicals inside the flashlight batteries, the solid materials and so on, you have gases, and you can continue to pump those gases in continuously throughout a mission and therefore get a continuing supply of electricity. When something goes wrong, as apparently it did here, you're in serious trouble, potentially, at least as far as mission success, if not astronaut safety, is concerned, because they are the main sources of power. You can't go through an entire mission with those fuel cells inoperative. As I recall, the mission rules are that they could proceed with one of them knocked out, but not with two. And from what we can gather listening to them, they at present have two of them shut down.
The byword of space venture has been redundancy, backup systems, Dr. Riefel, but for the fuel cells, there is no backup, is there?
Yes, there is. There are several independent systems for the fuel cells, and of course they can get along without two of them if they have to. They have, in addition to that, the batteries, which they've now gone to, as I hear the astronaut line in the fragments I've heard of it. I think part of the reason they've gone to the batteries is in an attempt to give them more flexibility with playing with the valves and piping that supply the gases to the fuel cells. It sounded to me earlier like what might have happened is some kind of an energetic short circuit, an arc, in one of the cells that might have actually eaten through some gas line and caused that venting of gas that they were noting. Why precisely this should affect two fuel cells, I simply can't say. But my impression is that they are changing valves and the configurations in an attempt to isolate the problem.
Well, now, of course, there are two electrical buses. They had this difficulty on one bus, but my understanding is that the procedures are arranged in such a fashion that with only one bus operative, thereby having no backup system, there would be no attempt at a moon landing.
I would think that's right. If they can't get two systems back on the line, the mission rule is that if one more failure would put you in a position where one additional failure would be a significant hazard, then you don't go.
Well, Dr. Riefel, what is the availability for repair in space? What capability have the astronauts for dismantling certain portions of the spacecraft, getting inside the electrical works, and effecting the kind of technical repairs which might be required to make these systems functional once again?
Essentially, they have no such capability, Mike. The problem is severalfold. First of all, you have them operating inside spacesuits, which are pretty clumsy. You're dealing with many layers of fabric and other protective materials on your hands, so you're rather like you're working in mittens. Secondly, the whole Apollo design is set up so as to be redundant but not repairable. It would have cost many years and great numbers of tons of extra payload to have these systems be man repairable in space. That's sort of the next generation, not this one.
There was some thought initially when they had the O2 leak, the leak of oxygen, that there might be a depletion of the oxygen supply for the life support system, and there was some talk of possibly reopening the hatch, which we heard being closed after that television transmission, to draw oxygen from the LEM. What kind of backup have we in terms of available oxygen for breathing so that the men can make that turn around the moon, get back on a trans-Earth orbit, and make a safe splashdown in either the Atlantic or the Pacific? We know not yet which.
Well, there are several backup systems in the lunar, in the command module, and of course the lunar module is still there too. So I don't think that that's any immediate danger, unless of course there's some kind of catastrophic failure going on involving large amounts of the plumbing. There's no reason to expect that unless there was, say, a large meteorite hit or something of that kind, which incidentally, is another conceivable, though not very likely, explanation.
Well, one of the communications from space was that we've had a large bang, but I presume that was in the sense of deflection of instruments, the so-called glitch, as that short circuit developed in the bus.
Yeah, and I would also expect they would hear a bang if it were a spark or an arc, kind of an explosive arc, and that's what led me to believe it might be some kind of an electrical short. I think one thing needs to be mentioned, and that is when you abort a mission like this, your recovery forces in the Pacific and Atlantic are generally not going to be in the correct positions, and it means that the recovery becomes a little bit more hazardous, as well as everything else happening.
It's certainly ironic on a mission which has been so perfectly on the money that we eliminated two mid-cross corrections because we were heading right into 61, 71 nautical miles from the moon, the kind of orbit that was required, and now suddenly we're talking about LEM lifeboat. Len Riefel, what is that procedure? The configuration that we now have finds the command service module linked nose-to-nose with the LEM, and as I understand it, it would be an alignment whereby the LEM engine would provide the thrust to change the orbit and bring the men back to Earth. Is that the basic
That's operation? Essentially it. It's to use the LEM as a lifeboat, basically, although since you can't re-enter the Earth's atmosphere with it, you must bring along the command module and use it finally to come down through the atmosphere. Incidentally, I don't have all the detailed conversations available to me between the astronauts and the ground, but I would not yet write off the mission. I am not certain from what I've heard that they're going to abort. It still could be conceivably that they are trying to fight to isolate the problem.
We have had situations before where pressures in tanks have gone down and the astronauts, through working the various controls, have brought about a configuration in which pressures have gotten back to near nominal and they've been able to proceed. But with these tanks going down to zero, it would seem improbable, would it not, that they could somehow find enough oxygen in those systems to provide the kind of power that's going to be required for as many days ahead as there still would be to follow the original flight plan?
Well, it depends, again, on where it is. If it's a leak in some places, the pressure could drop temporarily to zero, and then later, with a different set of valve settings, you could bring it back up if the leak were in a good, relatively harmless spot. Remember that the gases aboard are stored in liquid form, and so the fact that the pressure's going to zero only means that that you've got a leak. You haven't lost it all, though. You still got a fair amount of liquid, potentially. I admit that there were comments about a lot of venting, and of course, if it were a leak in the wrong place, the liquid itself could be lost.
We're at the point in time where the power aboard the command module should just have expired, according to the prediction that we had a few moments ago when the communicator on the ground, Capcom Jack Lausma, said you have 15 minutes left in terms of power available, so we want you to switch over to the LEM. And we do have a communication now from the Manned Spacecraft Center at Houston in communication with Apollo 13. Let's listen in on that talk.
That's a firm.
Fuel cell 2 pump going off now.
And Jack, leave them both on in tank 1.
Technical conversation here, just as Dr. Leonard Riefel was explaining to us, the attempt to reorient the plumbing, to isolate systems and to attempt to find out where the problem lay and perhaps bring about a configuration which would make possible a continuation of the Apollo 13 lunar landing. The talk from the Space Center at Houston is that the Apollo 13 mission is in considerable trouble right now with serious doubts as to the completion of the mission. One word that's being used by the wire services in describing it, one phrase rather, grave danger. That would seem to be something of an exaggeration in terms of the life support systems available to the men. They are in no present physical danger, though the objectives of the mission certainly are in danger of being scrubbed at this time. Apparently, activities aboard the Apollo 13 spacecraft are such that there is no conversation going on now. We have that line up, and we'll be eavesdropping on the radio transmission. A little fuzzy there. Let's continue our conversation with CBS News science consultant Dr. Leonard Reifel while we wait for some resolution of this problem with Apollo 13, a problem brought about by an apparent short circuit and then the spontaneous escaping of oxygen from the fuel cell power plants aboard the command module. Dr. Reifel, we were talking a moment ago about the LEM lifeboat procedure, the utilization of the thruster, the booster engine aboard the LEM to change the orbit and bring the spacecraft back to Earth. Would they come back with the LEM attached to the command module? The LEM, of course, has no ablative covering and would be susceptible to friction and would become a fireball coming back through the atmosphere, would it not?
Oh, yes, that's quite right, and that's why I remarked earlier that they must take the command module along with them. What they would do is use the lunar module engines until they had achieved the trajectory they wished to be on, which would be say some distance still from the Earth, at an appropriate place, they would then jettison the lunar module in the same way that they...
Hold on just a second, then let's listen to Apollo Control.
To recap briefly the situation here in Mission Control Center, we have an apparent serious problem with a leak in the cryogenic oxygen in the service module, which provides the electrical power system coming out of the fuel cells and also breathing oxygen for the crew. We're now in the process of manning the lunar module. Stand by.
We'd like to have you go to activation 12, step 3, which is get the batteries in high taps. Over.
Okay.
To Apollo Control, a summary coming up.
Under this alternate mission, the lunar module would serve as a lifeboat to bring the Apollo 13 crew back to Earth. That is, its consumables, oxygen, electrical power.
Jack, how do you read from Aquarius?
Aquarius, Houston, say again, please.
Okay, I was just making a contact. Using the radio transmitter aboard it, apparently.
Red and radio loud and clear.
Okay. Didn't think I'd be back to soon.
A wry remark in view of the circumstances, certainly.
Hey, what next, Jake?
Summary of the situation from Apollo Control, and they suddenly cut to the transmission between...
The current thinking is to use the lunar module descent propulsion system, the big engine of the LEM, to propel the entire spacecraft stack to a higher velocity as they go around behind the moon to come back to Earth a day earlier than a normal free return trajectory would return the spacecraft.
We'd like you to, on your alignment, can you continue right on through the final line, activation 31, go right on through step 7, over.
Okay, you want to go on 31 through step number 7, check.
That's affirmative, and I'd say we've got another configuration for you. All 16 RCS auto selects all.
While this conversation of a technical nature is continuing... Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification.
Okay, goodbye.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
This is 830 WCCO Studios, Minneapolis, St. Paul. We urge you to stay tuned to WCCO for further developments on the abort of Apollo 13's moon mission. We now rejoin...
This is Mike Stanley, CBS News, and the CBS News Space Headquarters in New York. Net Alert report coming to you because of a difficulty that has developed in space aboard the Apollo 13 spacecraft, an electrical short circuit, a leaking of oxygen, and now an apparent aborting of the mission in prospect. The latest word we have from the Manned Spacecraft Center at Houston, ground control calculates that under the present emergency plan, the astronauts would splash down at about 2:13 p.m. Eastern Time on Friday. We still have no plot on precisely where that splashdown would occur. On the line with us, CBS News science consultant Dr. Leonard Riefel, who has been discussing the LEM lifeboat procedure, which apparently is to be utilized if the mission is aborted and if the astronauts are to be brought back to Earth. Len, you were telling us that the LEM would be brought along with the command capsule until an appropriate point in time, providing life support, providing electrical power, providing communication. And at that appropriate point in time, and how far away from the Earth, would a change take place?
Well, Mike, I'm not certain of that. I don't happen to have those trajectories in front of me. But it would certainly be well outside the sensible atmosphere of the Earth. I think one of the points that we've all got to realize is that if they go into the LEM lifeboat procedure, that means that they have no backups beyond the lunar module equipment for certain situations that could develop when they're still out in fairly deep space. So it becomes a situation where the word lifeboat is really very apt. You don't use lifeboats unless you're in serious trouble. That's the reason why they want to use that descent engine of the lunar module to get them back a day early. The less time they have to spend without backups, the better off everybody will be, of course.
It occurs to me that when we talk about lifeboats, if they come down somewhere far removed from the recovery fleet, they may be floating for quite a while. Now, there would not be the usual helicopter overflight, the paramedics dropping into the water, the attaching of the flotation gear to keep the capsule in the proper attitude, bobbing on the waves of the ocean. What kind of integrity is there in that capsule for an extended ride on the surface without any of the augmenting, supplementing forces being on hand?
Well, it's pretty good, but it's a terrible ride. I'm sure we'll have three very sick astronauts on our hands if there's any ocean wave at all out there, wherever they land. I think the likelihood is that you'll have air cover pretty quickly. What you won't have, depending on where they come in, are the accessories aboard the aircraft carriers and that sort of thing. But I would hope and expect that aircraft recovery crews would be pretty much Johnny on the spot.
What about the beacon radio signal, Dr. Riefel? If we lose it on radar as it goes down into the ocean, what kind of homing devices are available for speedy location of the capsule?
Well, those kinds of things, as you suggest, are there. There are beacons, there are dye markers, there's flashing lights, there's all kinds of whistles and snaps to help people locate it. I think that the probability of losing it is essentially zero.
And we still have the capability, using the LEM lifeboat system for so adjusting the trajectory, that it will be the kind of water landing for which the Apollo spacecraft is designed. There's no chance, is there, in terms of looking at the worst possible things that could occur, of this being a hard landing on Earth?
Well, it could happen, I suppose, depending on the trajectory, depending upon the nature of the emergencies. After all, if you're at the point of making a choice between a landing on Earth and running out of oxygen, you pick the landing on Earth. The reason that we tend to avoid landings on Earth is that if there are high winds, then the parachutes on the command module can be picked up by the wind, and you get a certain, a reasonable velocity across the ground or across the surface, and you can sort of bounce the thing around and hurt the astronaut. It is not a matter of not being able to land on the land at all. It's merely a matter of not being able to land on the land in a high wind.
That's about as far as we can go at the moment, waiting for further information, either from the Apollo spacecraft, now somewhere more than 200,000 miles away from Earth, For from the manned spacecraft center at Houston, the radio communications between the two are still good. The LEM, the lunar module, Aquarius, is powered up, and it is providing all of the life support systems, the electrical power, the radio communication gear at this point, and the attempt continues to isolate the difficulty, perhaps to find a way of getting around it, making systems functional, though it must be said in all candor that the probability is the Apollo 13 mission will not go to its scheduled conclusion, will not go near a scheduled conclusion. The calculated emergency plan for the astronauts using the LEM booster engine to change the trajectory and bring the capsule back to Earth, would have the astronauts splashing down at about 2:13 p.m. Eastern Standard Time Friday. That information passed along from ground control in Houston. We do not have a plot yet. We don't know really if the flight commanders have decided how best to terminate the mission, whether to bring it down in the Pacific or in the Atlantic. Of course, the recovery fleet in the Pacific is the larger. It's the one that was scheduled to make the pickup, and no doubt the value system being employed by Houston is that if a trajectory can be accomplished which will bring the spacecraft back into that area, that would be the desirable circumstance. Let's go to Apollo Control.
Apollo 13 crewmen Jim Lovell and Fred Hayes have just completed...
Aquarius.
Go ahead, Aquarius.
Here are the gimbal angles, command module. 356, 69, 163, 42, 346, 67. Aquarius is 302, 26, 345, 92, 011-79. Over.
Okay, Jim, I got the command module, 356-65, 163-42, 346-67. Aquarius, 302-26, 345-92, 011-78.
That's 011-79.
Say again, please.
CBS News Space Headquarters in New York, and we continue to monitor as well. As the Apollo 13 mission now seems to be on its way toward termination, and aborting in the terms of the space people who have the plan laid out, according to design for landing on the moon, according to a number of contingencies for changing that direction. And as you just heard from Apollo Control, the decision is to let the coast continue. Let the space capsule move toward the moon, being pulled in and accelerated by moon gravity until it turns around the dark side of the moon. But if you remember, they changed that orbit yesterday, and they are now on what is called a hybrid trajectory, one which would not provide that normal whip around the moon and swing back to Earth. Rather, they'll have to change that trajectory once again. This time, it now looks, using the so-called LEM lifeboat method, firing the booster engine on the lunar module to provide the thrust to change that trajectory and bring them back to Earth.
We urge you to stay tuned to WCCO for the further developments on the aborted Apollo 13 moon mission. This is 24 Hours Radio we send to you from 830 WCCO Studios, Minneapolis, St. Paul.